Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for making this possible. Thank you for blessing us and drawing us and giving us your wisdom, Lord, your exhortations, your promises. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, we're calling this Bride Rewarded, Wicked Judged. And I'm going to start with a revelation given to William Steenland on 4/23/22. We called it Bride Protected as the Wicked is Nuked. Bill said, I dreamed I was in my kitchen preparing dinner. And this could be representing the preparation of spiritual food to feed God's elect. I was suddenly translated to a place in the mountains. I believe this represents the choosing of the bride, bringing her to Mount Zion, which is a place of safety from the beast. Although I was incredibly surprised about the miracle, I knew why the Lord had done it. I had a horrible feeling and immediately started searching the skies. And I said to myself, Oh my God, this is it, and it must have started. Okay, there was a light orange flash way, way off in the distance. The people to be judged will be spiritually far from Zion and the presence of God. Bill said, I saw the top of a mushroom cloud. The Lord was letting me know nuclear weapons were going off in a distance that I couldn't physically see. Well, I asked the Lord if we should cast this down by faith and got a no. Some of these questions led us to a conclusion. I forwarded this to Eve to get her to get an answer on it too, and she cast lots asking the Lord if we can pray this down, and she received three tails for no. I asked the Lord, are we going to have a nuclear war, and got a no. Then I asked, will there be a smaller nuclear exchange at this time, and got a no. And I asked the Lord, do these nukes just symbolize devastation on a nuclear level, as we have seen in other dreams? And I got a yes. So I asked, is this the unelect faction being destroyed, as we've received other revelations of? And I got a yes. Are there not physical nuclear attacks, but the Lord's destruction that he will bring on the factious in the church and the deep state? So, as in a nuclear attack, there will be desolation, waste, astonishment, as the Lord said in Ezekiel 35, 2 through 4. Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, which was the leadership of the Edomites, who are Esau's seed, who persecuted and betrayed their brother Israel. And prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. I will lay thy cities, which I believe represents congregations, waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So there is a desolation coming to the wicked here. And Bill went on to say, little mushroom clouds, which I think speaks of taking out individuals, appeared in the background and stuck in the sky as if it was some computer program that pinned the location of the blast in the distance. Well, as we have seen, the deep state can kill many instantly through smartphones and a computer program that pins their position. As I moved around, the symbols would stay in their places. There were many, many of these nukes going off. I continued to walk up this hill to an abandoned house with no windows or doors. It was made of concrete and looked like the place the Lord was sending me to hide. I believe this is representing the refuge that God has prepared for his people to be hidden in the rock, the secret place of the Most High. And their freedom to come and go is unhindered, as there is no windows or doors. The house had a bunch of silver everywhere. Well, we know from other revelations that the Lord will supply for the financial and physical needs of his people in times ahead. Some say ultimately silver will be more valuable than gold. Bill said, I thought I could barter using them, so I started to break them apart and put them in a backpack. It struck me odd that whoever was there previously didn't see the value in the silver. Well, it could be because it will be so plentiful. Then I looked out of the little concrete building, and there was a massive food processing plant nearby. I remember almost laughing because the Lord had put me right next to a food processing plant. I thought, oh wow, that's that. Thank you, God. Well, food and money will be plentiful among the bride, as the Lord spoke in Isaiah 61:5-8. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the wealth of the nations. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them, for I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery. Well, the factions, as we know, have stolen whenever they had a chance to steal from their brethren. So I hate robbery with iniquity, he said, and I will give them their recompense. In other words, I'm going to pay them back. In truth, God will repay. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I asked, will this devastation of the wicked come after we get the provision and this refuge? And received a yes. And Eve also asked for a confirming word for this and received Psalm 81:5, in context 5-7. He appointed it in Joseph for a testimony when he went out over the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I knew not. Of course, Joseph represents the man-child in our day. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. The slavery, in other words. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee in the waters of Meribah. Selah. So, as the dream changed, Bill said, I was still in the house, but was talking to a woman dressed in camouflage. Well, the bride is hidden in the secret place of the Most High. Camouflage, hidden. She was explaining to me where we were in the mountains, and she told me the state, the mountain range, and the roadway, and I can't remember what it was, but I knew it was somewhat iconic. well known and popular for mountain travel. There was a Native American word, she told me, and I remember thinking, I need to look that up and find the meaning, but I cannot remember the name. I knew more people were coming, some of them good and some of them bad. And that is because many will come and be saved, healed, delivered in the revival. Amen. Eve asked for a word by faith at random for Bill's dream and received Ezekiel 21:28-32. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord concerning the children of Ammon and concerning their reproach. And say thou, a sword is drawn for the slaughter. It is furbished to cause it to devour, that it may be as lightning. Well, there it is again. So I asked, is this representing the swift taking down of those who factioned against their own kinsmen? And got a yes. While they see for the false visions, while they divine lies to thee, to lay thee upon the necks of the wicked that are deadly wounded, whose day is come in the time of the iniquity of the end. Cause it to return into its sheath, in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy birth will I judge thee. I will pour out mine indignation upon thee, and I will blow upon thee with the fire of my wrath, and I will deliver thee into the land of brutish, of brutish men, skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire, thy blood shall be in the midst of the land, and thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, that was a very interesting dream. We got one from Mariana Payne, 10-17-21, which we called Bride Overcomes, Snake Attacks. And Mariana said, in this dream, I was walking towards a sandy beach shoreline. Well, we know God said that the sand was Abraham's seed, which we are by faith. Genesis 22:15-18 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations be of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, Mariana said, on the beach I saw five or six people working and standing around their work desks with computers, brainstorming something. And as I walked closer to them, they all closed their computers and were being very secretive about what they were doing. Could be something like I just spoke to you about, the computer programs, right? As soon as I got close to the first computer, a PVC pipe came flying through the sky and landed in the sand a few feet away from me. Well, as we will see, these people standing on the sand represent our enemies in the faction of the deep state and the church that want to conquer and subdue God's people. They're plotting to destroy us with their snake bites and their venom, representing their slander, lies, and murder on the spiritual side, of course. Romans 3:13-18, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So the workers immediately jumped under their desks to hide from the 2-foot-long PVC pipe sticking out of the sand. I didn't understand what danger this pipe could impose. All of a sudden, a black and white banded snake shot out of the pipe. It looked similar to a California king snake, except the snake was poisonous. The pipe could represent something that is piped into your home. We are hearing that people should not drink city water because of the things that are being put in it in various places. So keep that in mind. It rose in the air and hovered a minute, then turned around and set its sights onto me. It flew towards me and clamped onto my ear and would not let go. Then I saw 2 more PVC pipes come flying through the air and land on the ground. Let me say, both factions are injecting people with venom. One through the slander and the other through vaccines, literally, or through the water, literally, or through their food, literally. And both are killing people physically and spiritually. So we have an article about the venom in Casting Down the Dragon, number 3. I'll put that link here. Out jumped 2 more black and white banded snakes. One snake came slithering towards me and bit me on my left foot. I stomped it off with my right foot. Well, I want to say speaking the word and walking righteously will defeat the poison of the enemy who wants to divert our walk to the left. The snake bite was then coming towards me. The snake was then coming towards me, and I stomped on its head as it tried to bite me. Its head was triangular shaped, like most poisonous snakes are, and I noticed that this snake had little arms and legs almost resembling a baby crocodile or a little dragon, right? So I stomped them both to death and then pulled off the snake that was chomping on my ear and threw it down and stomped it to death as well. You don't want to mess with this lady. I'm just trying to tell you. Okay. Standing on the promises of the word enables us to bruise the head of the serpent, just as Jesus did. And we do. Amen. After the snake attack had ended, the workers then came out from under their desks. They were shocked to know that I had 2 snake bites. They proclaimed that the snakes were poisonous and that I was going to die in the next few minutes. Well, in these days, of course, people are dying as time goes by, and there it's a holocaust. And we know in the book of Revelation it seems to continue. Okay. Well, but we know that the bride is immune to these factious poisons. And in fact, we're told if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us. And you know what the bride does? They believe. They believe God. I started to pray scripture over myself, scripture of healing and God's protection, and then continued praying in the Holy Spirit. I was walking around the beach in prayer while they all just watched and waited for me to fall over and die. Reminds you of this, doesn't it? Acts 28:3 on down, it says, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered him to live.' Howbeit, he shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm, no harm." Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Do you believe the word of God? While I was praying, I saw a room on the beach. Inside this room were microscopes on a desk and an examination chair in the center. It was obviously a medical room of some sort. I opened the door and walked inside. Now listen to this. A medical room. Instantly, I felt queasiness in my stomach and bent over in pain. I now felt the snake venom burning inside my body. I knew the snake bites were now potent because I was inside this medical room. And when I was praying in the Spirit and professing Scripture, the venom was not potent. Well, Jeremiah 17:5-8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh. But its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Amen. I knew I had to get out of this room, and if I wanted to live. I managed to get out of the room and wobbled back down towards the beach and fervently continued praying down the spirit of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says, "O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hours seemed to pass in this dream, and the day soon turned to early dusk. The sun was now setting over the water on the horizon. The others were astonished that I was still alive after all this time. I received peace that the danger and death had passed, and I went to sit down on a retaining wall by the beach shore. I think the retaining wall represents sanctification and separation from the world and its ways. The world, of course, is typed in the scriptures as the sea. Isaiah, my 5-year-old son, was sitting on top of the wall. Sanctification, right? And next to him was a wild tiger. He said to me, "Look at my pet tiger." Isaiah was very excited that the tiger was allowing him to pet him on the paw. Isaiah said, "Look, he's so gentle, I could put my whole head into the tiger's mouth, and it wouldn't hurt me." Isaiah proceeded to open the tiger's mouth with his little hands. Just then I saw a glint, almost a sort of wink, in the tiger's eye, and I knew that the tiger meant to harm my boy and bite his whole head off. Well, you know, the devil through temptation seeks to take our head off, which is Christ Jesus, right? Before Isaiah could put his head inside the tiger's mouth, I immediately jumped off the wall and grabbed the tiger's mouth with both hands and ripped the tiger's jaw open and broke it in half. I told you, you can't mess with this woman. The beast will try to deceive the innocent and also steal our fruit if we are not vigilant to protect it. Amen? Okay, this one we called the last day of school for the bride while branches are broken off. This is Winnie Asageta, 4:22:22. Very interesting. The verse I received the night before this dream for the morning prayer meeting was Proverbs 1:25. In context, 20-33. Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. She uttereth her voice in the broad places. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, and at the entrance of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Well, we know that those in whom wisdom lives have tried to warn the wicked, but they just scoff. The apostates, but they just scoff. And they march headlong into their death. Verse 26. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. Well, that's not good news. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Well, okay, we need to hearken unto the word of the Lord. He has a solution to all of this curse that's out there. And this is all about judgment on the rebellious and justification and protection of the righteous, this context here. And as I do sometimes, I ask the Lord for a dream that would help the body, and also pertaining to this text as well, I had the following dream. I dreamed I was walking through Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn, and it was a very cloudy day outside, not very much sun, S-U-N or S-O-N. Fifth Avenue is where all the shopping stores are, which are located about two blocks or so away from my mom's house where I grew up. I knew it was the last day of school. That's very important. As I was walking through the street. Well, we are coming to the last day of school for the bride, which is also when their wicked crucifiers are judged. Her testing will be over, and the rewards will be handed out. And on the last day, some pass and some don't. Some will be in the bride, but some will lack fruit. I asked for a word this morning before looking at this dream and got Esther 2 and 4. And let the maiden that pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So there you have it. This is the way it's going to happen. And we know from so many revelations in the Word and in dreams and visions that the bride escapes what the church has to go through later. The people were walking in the streets where the cars are supposed to drive through, as opposed to the sidewalk where the people are supposed to walk. Well, where are all the shoppers, huh? Is Babylon shut down? Maybe they're at home watching the D-class. I don't know. I heard some people say, even some teachers, that they were not going to show up to school on the last day. I saw one teacher named Mrs. Rodriguez, a red-headed teacher that I had in the fifth grade. In a cell phone store looking out the large glass windows. Well, I think the red-headed teacher represents the Edomite apostate church leadership who is not in touch with the Holy Spirit, represented by wireless communication, because she is not using the cell phones. So Fifth Avenue and fifth grade could mean a day of grace for the righteous, which leads to judgment on the wicked. Because God uses the wicked on the righteous to crucify them and to bring them to purity, but then he always judges the wicked. And she said, as we were walking through the street, I noticed fallen, broken, dried out branches. We've heard about that in the Bible, haven't we? These are reprobated branches with no life in them that bore no fruit. And she said they were all over the place by the sidewalks. By the sidewalks. Okay. They were beside the narrow road and walk, but not on it. John 15:1-8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. So notice, these dried branches are talking about God's people who have not borne fruit. Because he said, in me. Some say no. Well, they're wrong. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except you abide in me. Oh my goodness, you need to get into the Word of God and see what it is to abide in Christ, right? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And there are many Christians that don't spend much time with the Lord at all. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. There it is. And they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, see that? Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Well, we know the seed of the word that the sower sowed is what bears the fruit. In other words, obedience to that word he puts in your heart brings forth the fruit. I was walking with a group of people, some children and some adults, and I recognized a factious man. He said something that seemed like an accusation against me, which is normal. And although I do not remember what it was, I believe it was pertaining to my not working hard enough to pick up and break apart the branches and check inside for something we were all looking for inside. Well, all the faction will be desperate to find some fruit of Jesus, and there will be none in these rejects. They're dried up all the way to the middle. After the first accusation, I was then accused of being offended, to which I replied that I wasn't offended, as I was not accepting the offense in spite of the temptation to be offered, to be offended. Excuse me. Well, the faction always accuse others of what they are guilty of. And you can see that in the faction in the state and in the faction in the church. That's the same demons, exact same demons. They never take any responsibility for their sins. They always turn and point at other people in order to move the attention away from their sins. And when the factious accuse you, it's a good thing. They never accuse their own. We should never accept their accusations either. We then walked over to some branches on the ground on the left, and we started to break them apart to check inside. Even some of the children were breaking apart the branches to look inside. Even children can tell when there's fruit and when there's not, or when there's life left in the branch and when there's not. So this represents looking for the life of Christ, but they are dried and dead branches, and they're on the left, which is where the goats go. I could feel a bit of discouragement try to sweep in due to the accusation against me. Well, this is because that there is witchcraft mixed in with their slander. That's right. And they speak to you, you find crazy things happening. Well, then just guess what? You need to rebuke it and renounce it, and don't listen to slanderers. The slanderer will I destroy, God says. Because if you listen to them, you will become a slanderer. It's the facts. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random regarding this and received Romans 8:26. And in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when under attack, pray in the Spirit. Because as we know, the Bible says, it builds you up, right? Strengthens you. I asked the Lord for one more verse by faith at random regarding this dream because I wanted more understanding, and I received another verse pertaining to wisdom. Revelation 17:9. Here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sitteth. Well, this represents, as we know, the seed of the seven world beast kingdoms from the beginning until now. And of course, those who walk in the flesh belong to this. The dragon, of course, and the beast, both have the seven heads and ten horns. And many Christians who believe they're Christians belong to the dragon and are attempting to devour God's people, especially the man child and the bride. Okay. So here's another revelation. We called it Man, Child, and Bride Inspecting the Fruit. And this was given to Player Pinar, 3:22-22. I dreamed of David Eales and I. Well, I believe Claire here represents the bride because her name means brilliant. And we know that she had on that brilliant garment, right? And David represents the David Manchild body of First Fruits Reformers. Okay. So she went on to say, we were in a little garden bed. Well, a garden bed is a play on words, I believe, as we enter into our continual Sabbath rest of ceasing from our own works, we bear much fruit of Christ in our lives. Said, I was wearing a white dress that covered my arms and was long down to my feet. And I believe this represents the Lampros garment, Revelation 19 and 8. And it was given unto her, that is the bride, that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. David and I were standing on really dark soil, representing the fertile ground of the Word that we are planted in, which bears much fruit of Christ in us. We too are to be the Word made flesh, and out of this flesh, of course, grows the spiritual man, right? John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. Now, this is a place where, of course, the faction helps us and blesses us, putting us on our cross, you know, and bringing forth this fruit. So, as long as we're willing to be obedient to the Lord in the midst of these trials, we will bear fruit. So, David was crouching down and looking at a tomato plant. Tomato in the ancient Aztec language means love apple. And the bride's fruit is love. I was also looking at the plant, and I gently moved one of the leaves away, and there was a huge red tomato under one leaf. And David said, there it is. Then he moved all the other leaves away gently, one by one, and there were these beautiful red tomato fruits under most of the leaves. Well, we know what the leaves do. They take in the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, and give off beneath the leaf the oxygen, which is the spirit of life, and water, representing the word of life. Amen? So, that's why such fruit can be born under them. I began skipping around David with joy, and he was smiling brightly and widely, very happy with the fruit. David and I started singing in tongues together to the same tune, with the same song. It was glorious. Well, we know the man, child, and bride are one spirit, mind, and body in Christ. The man-child actually is part of the bride body because he is the head of the bride body, much like David was the head of Jerusalem, which was said to John to be the bride. Okay? So this next one we call Provision for the Bride. It was given to Terry McGinley on 4/19/22. And Deb put some notes in here before I got it, Deb Horton. I had a dream where I was observing these young men, and I believe they're representing the man-child body of the First Fruits Reformers. They were between the ages of 18 and 23 or so. 18 is the numerical value of the Hebrew word chai, which means life. It is a Jewish custom to give monetary gifts in increments of 18, thus symbolically blessing the recipient of the gift with a good long life. And the number 23 in the Bible symbolizes death. The man-child body of reformers is the first to come to their spiritual death to self, so that they can bring salvation, provision, and life through the gospel of Christ to all of God's elect during their first 3.5 years of ministry during the tribulation. They were camping, and someone told them of a lady that was in need and asked if they could help out. Deb put, camping represents that the man-child reformers are in their own personal wilderness. Okay. And I think the lady in need is the modern-day church, who has been impoverished by apostasy and division over these last 2,000 years and is in desperate need of the real Jesus. One young man said, "Wait just a minute." Well, and Deb said, the young man represents Jesus, who has already given us everything. He had a stack of birthday cards. And Deb said, birthday cards represent invitations to be born into the kingdom. Amen. He looked through them and found a blank check and $100 bill. He took them out of the cards and gave them for the lady in need. And Deb put, the man-child will show the woman how to receive the $100 bill representing 100-fold fruit and the blank check representing carte blanche. In other words, whatever is needed, no stipulations or no limits. Well, this sounds very much like Esther 2 and 13 to me. Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Yes, that's when the bride is chosen, right? He left the check blank. And I was really surprised, thinking he'd give maybe $5 or $10, especially since he didn't seem to have much and was so young. Well, that was the whole dream, she said. Well, Jesus didn't have much during his earthly life, according to the world's standards, but he gave all of his life so that we could have life. A blank check reminds me of Mark 11 and 24, which many people ignore to their own disaster, right? Mark 11 and 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Wow. Powerful, powerful. Powerful revelation. Well, you know, God has provided everything for us to go out of the houses of the women, that is the denominations and the sects of Christianity, and to go to the king's house, which of course the bride goes to. He's provided everything. All things whatsoever. That doesn't leave anything out. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received. It's past tense in the Greek. In fact, even most texts have received either in the text itself or in the notes. It's received. Believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Okay, you shall have them. Well, the Lord's provided everything. The bride is able to partake of this everything, and it's because the bride has faith. You know, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And the bride has a clear conscience, and they have no problem receiving from the Lord. The apostates have a big problem receiving from the Lord because they haven't been taught faith. This is faith. Mark 11 and 24 is faith. And it is given to people who have a clear conscience so that they can have faith and believe and receive. So if you need to repent of something, especially any kind of willful disobedience, please do before these terrible things come upon the world. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after that we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. You see, you're adversarial to God when you walk in willful disobedience. You know, if you had children, that you should never let willful disobedience go by without a chastening. God doesn't. He says so in His Word. And, of course, you know, children do foolish things, and that they're not accounted against them because they're children, and they stumble and they fall, and you just help them up and you love them and so on and so forth, you know. Willful disobedience, if you let it go, you're going to raise a monster. Okay. And God knows that about us. He loves us enough that if we sin willfully, He's going to send a chastening that's going to devour the adversaries. So, repent. Draw near to God. Judgment is coming. Some very fearful judgments are coming. I believe the Lord has shown us very clearly that there are still more plagues prepared. I think that the white hats have done a good job to do their very best to wipe out these plagues. But as you know, they call them the poor man's nuclear bomb. And it's very hard to stop them. You can't destroy everything. It only takes a little to do an awful lot of damage. And they have done in these labs, they've jacked up all of these plagues from the past, and they want to throw them at you. And they want to put them in the water, the PVC pipe, right, to poison you. So, but we have a Savior. And He doesn't just save our spiritual man, He saves our fleshly man, or natural man, I should say. The flesh is the carnal nature, and it definitely has to die. And if a person lives carnally, they will die, as the Apostle Paul said. And, of course, if we walk after the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And if we walk after the flesh, you must die, Paul said, Romans 8. So, Lord, we thank You so much for this wonderful revelation. We ask, Lord, that we make the best of it. I pray that anyone who didn't understand it goes back through it and studies it and gets it down in their heart, as all of these revelations are wonderful. And thank You, Father, for them. And we love You and we appreciate You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank You for it. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again soon.